Hey, I'm Josh Barrow, your new host of Left, Right, and Center. Every week, join Rich Lowry, Bob Scheer, and me for a contentious yet civilized debate of the week's big political stories, from ISIS to the U.S. economy to this 47-candidate presidential election we're having. You can find Left, Right, and Center on KCRW's iTunes page.
From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Kim Masters, and this is The Business.
I can do something crazy, or maybe brainless, if you think about shooting a film in a single take, but I have to ask for a little money. Or I ask for a lot of money, and then I gotta play it safe. So I said, I'm not gonna play it safe. I'm gonna play it the very, very opposite of safe.
Improbable as it seems, German director Sebastian Schipper shot his award-winning bank heist film Victoria in one take with completely improvised dialogue. Schipper and the star of the film, Laia Costa, talk about preparing for a long, uninterrupted shoot and what happens when the leading lady is desperate for a bathroom break. But first on the News Banter, Scientologists ramp up their campaign against Going Clear and ABC Family changes its name to what? Stay tuned. It's The Business from KCRW. I'm joined by my partner in banter, Michael Schneider of TV Guide magazine. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Kim.
So, Scientology, Alex Gibney made his film, Going Clear. I'm a talking head in that, just to disclose all. I didn't get paid. I just appear as a journalist talking about Scientology. The film won an Emmy for Outstanding Documentary. And, you know, up until recently, Scientology had been, you know, they'd been tweeting Alex Gibney is a bad person and dishonest and putting things on Facebook. But, you know, I think because of the Emmy, possibly, there appears to be a ramping up of a campaign against this film.
Yeah, this is much more in line with what we've seen through the years that Scientology has allegedly targeted most of its critics with much more aggressive campaigns as opposed to the muted campaign that they took out during the Emmy season. So now there's all these new allegations of certain stories being written, documentaries being filmed, all targeting Alex Gibney.
Yes, what's happening is there are people reaching out to members of the Academy, the Motion Picture Academy's documentary branch, including Rory Kennedy, who did The Last Days of Vietnam, and her husband. There are claims that they're working on a profile of Alex Gibney for a Scientology magazine and a documentary. And, you know, Alex told The Hollywood Reporter that they has dramatically ratcheted up its campaign against him and the film. I should say that the Church of Scientology denies that. But if that denial doesn't ring entirely true, it could be that the church wants members of the Academy to think twice about giving another award to this film.
Yeah, this is a film that has some real legs, and it has, I assume, done some damage.
It is qualified to be nominated for an Oscar, and I don't think that the idea of having Alex Gibney standing on the stage before the world, possibly with people who aren't members of the Church of Scientology, such as John Travolta, in the room, having that kind of a platform, you know, I think that's a very uncomfortable idea for the Church of Scientology.
Right, right. Clutching their Leah Remini books. It's an interesting
it's
time.
It's getting rough out there. Meanwhile, let's talk about the rough out there for Relativity, Ryan Kavanaugh's company. Just to remind people, he is the guy who said he had a computer formula for picking hits, and then his company recently went into bankruptcy with massive debt and not that much in terms of asset. This has been a big fight in the bankruptcy court. He has now lost the one part of the company that appears to be making money, which is the TV
right, right.
The, operation.
The, yeah, by far the most successful portion. Relativity Television, led by Tom Foreman, has actually done quite well through the years, especially in the reality arena. They're behind hits like Catfish, the series on MTV. They're also a producing partner on Limitless, which is one of the few new hits coming out of this season so far.
On CBS,
yes.
Yeah. So the rest of the company, which, you know, nobody really wanted to buy, Ryan Kavanaugh is attempting to buy with a group of friends. And it may be that that is, in fact, a done deal by the time we get to air. But it will be a phenomenon in Hollywood if Ryan Kavanaugh, who is recriminated against by many people as either not competent or worse, ends up running something. It's just going to be one of those only in Hollywood stories.
Yeah, kind of the Hollywood loves a sequel, and this one will be a really interesting one.
Yes, it will be very strange, and many people will find it just beyond their understanding, possibly including me. Meanwhile, China, you know, China's been a tough place to do business, but everybody wants to go there because it's going to be the number one box office country in the world in a very short number of years. There's been a lot of complaints about how hard it is to do business there, including fraud in terms of reporting what movies make, because, of course, the studios do get a percentage, not a gigantic one, but 25%, generally speaking, of movies that get in under that tight little quota they have in China. So China made a very quiet deal with the Motion Picture Association of America, the MPAA, promising to be a little more transparent and honest about what these movies actually make so that the studios will get their share.
Yeah, previously the box office data came from private agencies, and of course those numbers were dicey, so it'll be nice to maybe see some real transparency and some legit numbers coming out of China, but again, we shall see.
Yes, we shall see. Meanwhile, if you are looking forward to seeing Daniel Craig in the next James Bond movie, Spectre, enjoy it, because it seems unlikely, based on an interview that he gave this past week, that he's going to do yet another James Bond movie.
Well, he wasn't mincing words when he talked to Time Out London and said specifically, "I'd rather break the glass and slash my wrists than do another Bond movie." So I don't know. I don't think he wants to do another Bond movie.
You know, it's like one of these things where, for an actor, where getting a franchise like that is a goal. You know, you want that. But then when you get into it, there's a question of how do you get back out again and how do you get seen as any other character? And it becomes a little bit of a golden handcuff for a lot of people. And he obviously is tired of it.
Yeah. I mean, some actors would kill for those golden handcuffs. And there are plenty of actors who have managed to play several iconic characters and still survive. So I think Daniel Craig will be okay.
Oh, I think he'll be fine. And I think the Bond franchise will be fine because it's lasted longer than anything that I can think of.
Forever and ever.
Forever and ever. And finally, ABC Family announced a name change, and people did not seem to care for it.
Yeah, I mean, ABC Family said they went through 3,000 names to come up with Freeform,
Freeform,
the new title of the channel, effective January 1st. Now, it's an interesting time for channels like ABC Family because they're targeting a younger and younger generation as the millennials get older. Believe it or not, some of the millennials are pushing 40 at this point. There's a new generation, which ABC Family, now Freeform, has dubbed the Becomer Generation, 14-year-old to 34-year-olds. Of course, these people don't necessarily watch linear television. ABC Family is hoping to hold on to them and maintain that
audience.
They're
trying to sound cool.
Yeah, and having family in your name does not sound cool.
Right? Of all the internet reaction, the one that struck me as funny, and I honestly can't remember where I read it, somebody said it sounded like some kind of lingerie line, Freeform.
It sounds like a lot of things, but it doesn't necessarily sound like a television network. But then again, you know, Sci-Fi changed its name to SYFY. There are a lot of strangely named channels. As long as you have the content, then the name
People
doesn't really
will come.
Matter.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Kim.
That's Michael Schneider of TV Guide Magazine. Director Sebastian Schipper's new film, Victoria, starts simply enough. A young Spanish woman, played by Laia Costa, meets a group of guys carousing in a Berlin nightclub.
What's your name?
Victoria.
My name is Zonne. Nice to meet you.
That's Boxer.
And that's Blinker.
You're Berlin guys, then.
I show you our world.
Victoria and Sonna, played by Frederick Lau, start to flirt in earnest. But their budding romance is derailed when one of Sonna's friends makes an unexpected demand.
I have to do a Boxer a favor.
It's something bad to do?
Indeed, it involves some criminal behavior, but rather than bidding her new friends goodnight, Victoria goes along for the ride. Even as he came up with the idea for the film, director Sebastian Schipper decided that he wanted to try to shoot the entire thing just over 2 hours long in one seamless take. Victoria may bring to mind recent films like Birdman that look like they were shot in one take, but Schipper didn't use any trick camera work or editing. His one-take movie really was shot in just one take. For Schipper, the inspiration for Victoria was a daydream about robbing a bank.
You know, I sometimes say, if I would be the driver in the most boring bank robbery of Nebraska in the last 20 years, it would still be one of probably the single most exciting thing I would have done in my life. And I think sometimes what film people or directors or writers sometimes do is you pick a story and then you enlarge everything. You know, kidnapping, most money, most gold. But what gets lost in the process, I think, sometimes is the real thrill. You know, we try to make everything bigger because we think that's going to be more thrilling. But sometimes that's not the case. You know, because I thought if I be able to make a film or get you as close as possible towards you being maybe having an impression of how it would be to be a driver in just a very normal bank robbery. So I was aiming for that more.
So how was it presented to you, Laia?
The first time I met him was in the casting in Barcelona. And then at that moment, I just knew it was a one take, it was a robbery. And I had to spend 3 months in Berlin. And just with this information, I was like, yeah, let's go for it.
And you were in Barcelona to cast because you
had... Because I knew that Victoria had to be Spanish.
Why?
You know, the best thing I can say is, and that's 100% true, is that I knew she had to be Spanish. And everything that comes after that is rationalizing this kind of instinct. And I think that what we do films with is not entirely our brains. I think it's a lot of times it's instincts,
right. It's not
and intuition. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, your job as a director is to explore that and also to kind of find out if it makes sense. But the first thing, and sometimes the most truthful thing, is that you have this instinct. And of course, yeah, I mean, it's in Europe. There are a lot of people from Spain and Berlin. You know, there's something believable and true about it. And of course, there's an undercurrent that is about privilege, underprivileged. You know, she has been a privileged girl all her life. They kind of tell her, oh, by the way, you're not a princess anymore. And you got to give us your crown, too.
So one of the, your character, Laia, doesn't speak German. Do you speak German?
No.
So that was, you wanted somebody who was Spanish who actually didn't have German.
Right. And honestly, now sitting here and looking back on it all and talking about the film, I really, this is not some kind of hippie way to say it, but it's again true. I almost have a feeling Victoria had to be Spanish, so I find this girl.
So had you made a film? I know you were in advertising for a time.
Yeah, I've been an actress for the last four years.
She has a PhD.
In?
It's called Media, Society, and Politics.
And so you use that to go into advertising. Did I get that part right?
I was in the university. I started in advertisement, and then I started working. And I was like 4 or 5 years working. And then one day I was working in a German company, and we used to work until maybe 10 p.m. in Spain in the advertisement agencies when we have a lot of work. And in this German company, at 6 p.m. I was done. So I was like on the streets, like saying, okay, all my friends are working. I don't have dinner until 9:30. What am I going to do these 3 hours? So I start doing acting classes. And then 1 year later, I started working as an actress.
I never heard of that. That's great. So you just went like, oh, what can I do? I just become a after work actress.
And it was a German company. And they were like saying to me, we're going to pay you for German classes. And then I did it like couple of weeks, and then I was like, ooh, it's not for me, thank you.
No, and it's so funny because when I met Laia, I didn't know that she's never been a lead. I didn't even ask the question. You know, I looked at her material, I met her, and it was totally clear to me, this is Victoria. And only later did I learn that now in Spain, I'm supposed to have discovered her. That's crazy. I mean, I was lucky enough to run into her and lucky enough to
run into... From a casting agency?
Yeah, from a casting director. The story goes that we didn't have much money.
Right.
You know, so we couldn't pay a proper fee for the casting director in Spain, but I knew she had to be Spanish for whatever reasons, you know, felt right, or maybe I had to find her. So we talked to a couple of casting directors, and actually one, they were really upset because we had like small fee, like a symbolic fee. And we basically said, you know, think about this for 20 minutes and give us the five names you think of, and because we don't have more money. And she said, no, and she was really furious. And then we talked to Lucy Lennox, and she said, yeah, sure. And even while we were on the phone, this casting director already mentioned Laia's name.
So she felt it was the right thing.
Yeah.
Did you have a script? I know you sold the idea with a 12-page sort of summary, I suppose.
We talked. That was what we did. It was a very oral thing. Based on these 12 pages, but... Honestly, when I had my daydream about robbing the bank, that was when I was working on a proper script. It's a thriller that I probably will never do. And I worked on that for 5 years. You know, it happens. And I think maybe, you know, when I decided to not daydream about robbing a bank, but daydreaming about shooting maybe a film in a single take, I realized I either have to write the perfect script that I cannot edit, or I have to change something. So what I changed was I turned away from the idea that the script is the most important thing for a film and towards the idea that the story is the most important thing. So what we worked on all together was the story, but not in a written manner. It was an improvisation.
So you, at one point, you sought a bank robber to give you tips about bank robbery through a friend of a friend.
Yeah.
How helpful was that?
It was very helpful. I talked to a couple of bank robbers, and it was very blunt. You know, they say, okay, today, to rob a bank, it doesn't really make any sense. You go in, you get 20,000 euros out of it, and you will get it, but you need four people. It's 5,000 euros for each of them. It's not that much. And it's really, and then you rob the bank. So they say pretty much a gas station makes more sense, or even some kind of bodega, smaller place. And that's how they looked at it. And that's what where I took the idea that in my case, in my bank, you know, my bank and my film, they have an inside information. So they have the inside information. One guy wants to buy a vintage car, wants to pick up 50,000 euros cash, blah, blah, blah. And I like the idea that for them, it's a business. You know, it's not a huge, amazing lifestyle that maybe sometimes the way it's been portrayed in films.
Well, again, the way I read the film, only one of the guys really knows that there may have to be even anything. The rest of them are just out with him.
Right.
I mean, that was actually one of my favorite moments in the film when the one guy says to the other, I hate you.
Yeah, the guy himself, you know, Frederick, who plays Sonne, he likes it himself. He sometimes tells me, yeah, that's pretty good, huh? When I say I hate you. And this I hate you really means I love you, but I hate loving you. You know, why are you my friend? And I think it's very intimate.
It's a great moment. So then you have your 12-page story, and do you have your financing pre- or post-cast?
Which one? Pre-cast.
So you go to whom?
This is my fourth film. I go to the people I worked with before. What I basically said is, give me a wild card. Give me the kind of money you can give me that doesn't keep you up at night. This might not work. I might have to throw together a jump cut version of all the stuff we're shooting, but let's not forget for a moment why we started doing this. We started doing this because we love films and we love the crazy idea of making films. And they were up for it. I mean, the budget is small, but I met 3-4 people, you know, the way...
Are they like money guys or...?
They are money guys, but you know the way films are being financed in Europe, and especially in Germany and France, is through cultural funding.
Right. That was my next...
Right.
The unspoken rest of the question.
It is cultural funding that's also based economically. So they give you money when they believe they're going to see this money back. So it's not just, oh, that's just a heartbreaking, wonderful idea. I'm going to give you money. No, they say, if anybody wants to see that. So it is kind of, you know, it's not like the opera. It's not like the classical music thing in Germany. So there were like a TV station, a distributor, then the Berlin Film Funding. And there's a general German nationwide film funding. Here's the thing. I can do something crazy or maybe brainless if you think about shooting a film in a single take, but I have to ask for a little money. Or I ask for a lot of money, and then I got to play it safe. So I said, I'm not going to play it safe. I'm going to play it the very, very opposite of safe. But give me the money, like I said, give me the money.
Give me a little money.
Yeah, give me your stamps.
Coming up after a short break, Shipper and Costa tell us about the improvisational rehearsal process for Victoria and what Laia Costa did when she really, really had to go to the bathroom in the middle of the shoot. You're listening to The Business from KCRW.
Browse the KCRW store and shop for vacations, wine classes, frequent flyer miles, dinners, and merchandise. Shop to support KCRW only at kcrw.com/store.
This This is The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. We're talking to German director Sebastian Schipper and Spanish actress Laia Costa. Their film, Victoria, shot all in one take, follows a group of friends in the lead-up to and aftermath of a bank robbery. Schipper shot the film in the very early morning hours of April 27th, 2014, using 22 different locations in one Berlin neighborhood.
You know, I lost a lot of my superpowers as a director, is I can control and micromanage everything all the time. You know, if I want to shoot a film in a garage, I look at 20 garages.
Right.
You know, and here I was glad we found one
that
is close
to
our other,
else.
You know,
right.
to close to other, you know, and I realized that these limitations also brings you to the core of the things that are really maybe about directing, because maybe directing is not as much about micromanaging all day long, you know, smile a little more, smile a little less, but it's maybe the core is, what are these characters about? What is the story about? What's the undercurrent of the story? You have to clear your mind and be really simple. And that takes away a lot, but it also forces you to be very precise about what you want to do or what you want them to do.
So you find these locations, and you shot it three times. I think the first time you thought it was not good.
It was flat, yeah.
It was maybe too big the second time?
It was crazy. It was ridiculous.
You pushed it to be bigger?
No, the first one was flat. Nobody wanted to mess it up, you know? And then I said, guys, especially guys, not Laia.
Not this person sitting here, no.
I said, come on, you can have fun with it. You know, this is not about being an A student. Enjoy this. Go crazy, and they did. And these guys...
For me, it was the best one.
Oh, you like that one?
She liked it the best, yes, right. No, and I mean, these guys know how to party. They have a certain expertise in that. And I think, I mean, that back then I was very angry. I mean, I was very angry. I think you guys call it like the halftime speech that the coach gives.
Oh, right, right, right.
You know? But I mean, looking back now, and of course now, yeah.
Everything's good now.
No, yeah, everything is good now. And I think what they really thought, let's bring some of that, what we do when we party, let's bring it into the film. And it was not a good idea.
So at one point, Laia, you go running off out of frame, I read, because there was no bathroom break, but you...
When we are going down to the club again to have the party moment.
Right.
I was thinking, oh my God, I have to pee. I have to do it. So there was no really toilet there.
Because the club is fake.
It's all
we build
fake,
it.
And it was full of people.
Right.
And I was just like in the back and just trying to pee somewhere. And all these people was looking at me. And I was like, that's the only moment where Victoria is out from the camera. And then the next right moment, I jump on the guys.
Yeah.
And it's good because it feels like she's so happy, but I was so relieved, you know? But that's one of the things I really love about the movie. You have to deal with the real stuff that's going on there and to keep being inside.
You've got to go, got to go. Did you notice that she was going?
No, I didn't. You know, there are moments in the film when I'm closer to the action. There are scenes where I could hide behind the camera or move behind the camera, and there are other scenes where I couldn't be around. So the moment that we talked about, I wasn't there.
So you didn't have to be like, what just happened? Where did she go? So you did a lot of rehearsal. Improvising every time is a little bit different, I assume.
Yeah, it's a little different. We basically rehearsed for
a month
in a way. Yeah, but that's also including the one takes. Because they were not like on three consecutive nights, but there was some time in between. And I think the core of us rehearsing was 10 days. And we split the film down in 10-minute segments. The first 10 minutes, cut. Let's do it again. So the first night of shooting, we did this for 8 times. But under real conditions, with all the extras in the middle of the night, so that later on, after these 10 days of 10 minutes or something, we would have shot the entire film. You know, with all this material, we can do a crazy, energized, jump cut version. So I had the chance to tell everybody, we got the film. Now let's have fun with the one takes. You know, this is just for us. And of course, that was a bit of a white lie, which turned out later was a huge lie that I even told myself, because the jump cut version is the plan B. The first time I see the plan B is 48 hours before we shoot the last take. We only have money for this last take, and I see it, and I see it's nothing. It doesn't work. It's horrible. You know, it doesn't dance. There's no Fred Astaire. You know, it's like I created a monster.
Right.
And in these 48 hours, I got scared. You
know, did he tell you that the jump cut version didn't work?
No, no. I was not aware of any of this process he had. I mean, for me, all the one takes were great. Even when he was doing this great speech, I was not there. So it's something I'm realizing now while we are doing all these interviews, you know.
I didn't invite her to that.
I was there later. So yesterday, actually, I realized, oh my God, this day you and the guys were like 1 hour before you said to me to come 1 hour later is when you did this big speech. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I was not there.
You missed the speech.
Yeah, I missed it completely.
No, and there was nervousness and there was a different kind of tension. Somebody asked me, what was your favorite moment in making this film? And I have to say, I guess it was these 48 hours before we shot the last take. I think they were quintessential for this not just being an exercise.
Right.
But for this becoming a film.
So you didn't get into the film festivals last year, but then Toronto called back and you played Toronto this year.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's weird. Of course, back a year ago, was, you know, we wanted to go into Venice and they didn't want us. And we wanted to go into Toronto and they didn't want us. And then Sundance didn't want us. And I was like, oh, really? Oh. And I believe in this film. I love this film so much. But I thought, like, maybe it doesn't come across. And then we were able to go into Berlin and they accepted us for competition. And I actually talked to somebody from Sundance on a screening in New York and they said, we would really love to show your film in Sundance. I said, really? I sent you my film last year.
What happened?
But you know, the moment when that happens, when you're being turned down, of course you have all these revenge fantasies, like one day I will show you all. And the moment you can, you kind of, there's no need for that, you know.
But the Oscars, Germany didn't pick the movie.
That's a kind of a touchy field. There is 51% German and Spanish in our film. And the way I understand it, Rule 13 says predominantly non-English.
Right.
But, and I understand that the Academy, they decide from case to case. And the committee in Germany, being a German committee, decided against the chance of nominating Victoria, then the film being turned down by the Academy because
it was not sufficiently foreign language.
But of course, in my little angry director's heart, I think it's all totally unfair.
It's
51%
wrong.
Is predominantly.
You know, a foreign language film every year is a controversy, every single year. But you're willing to come into the American film industry.
Oh yeah, I'm ready.
Oh yeah, that's enthusiasm.
Yeah, of course, you're the motherland, the fatherland, whatever. Of course, I love being here.
What about you? You want to be doing English films?
Yeah, I would love. I think actors are like travelers. They have to go where the job is, where the work is, no matter what. So now I'm just like trying to fix on the scripts and doing good characters, and that's it.
Of course, there's a whole different kind of stuff on the menu. You know, there's also the big industry and a lot of films are products. But I think it would be totally wrong to reduce the great, breathtaking tradition of American movies to just that.
Sebastian Schipper is the director of Victoria and Laia Costa is the star. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much. Great pleasure.
And that's The Business. Caitlin Parker produced and edited today's program with production assistance from Ray Guarna and Grant Buckerfield. You can hear The Business on demand with the KCRW smartphone app and get the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business.